So we have a description in the parsha of the avoda of Yom Kippur, and one very unusual part of the avoda is the eating of the seir lazazel. So everything about the seir lazazel seems very strange to us, right? You're not mocking it in the normal way of shafting it and bringing it on the mizbeach. The kapara comes by somehow sending it out to Eretz Gzeira, to a desolate area, pushing it off of a cliff. So what kind of avoda here is going on? How is this mechaper? Particularly what strikes us as very shocking about this Seir Lazazel is that the pasuk juxtaposes, it says V'nazan Aaron al shnei ha-se'irim goralos, that you put a lottery on the two se'irim, goral echad l'shem, v'goral echad l'azazel. One goral is to Hashem, and the other one is to Azazel. So whatever Azazel is, it's a place, it's a different ramazim, what that might refer to, but the simple mashmos of the pasuk is that it's not Hashem. Right? If one goes to Hashem and the other goes somewhere else, then the somewhere else is not to Hashem. And that seems like a very strange thing, because generally we would think that as an axiomatic that all korbanos go to Hashem. Right? If we only have one Hashem, we only serve one God, right? So who else could we possibly be giving a korban to? Right? Very strange. So the Ibn Ezra on this pasuk points out, he says that Rabbeinu Shmuel says, is Mefarish, he says, one second, he says, he brings a Rabbeinu Shmuel, Amar Rav Shmuel, Afal pi shekasu b'seir achatas shehu l'ashem, he says, don't let it confuse you, even though it mentions specifically that the seer that's brought in the Beis HaMikdash is Lashem. Don't let that confuse you, they're both Lashem. There's two different korbanos, they're both Lashem. So the Ibn Ezra says, Vein Tzarech, you don't need to say that Dochak. No, we can take this Kipshuto, that the seer Lazel is going somewhere else. He says it's obviously not a korban because you don't shaft it, so it's okay that it's going to something else other than Hashem. So where is it going? So he says, "V'im yacholta lahavin hasod shehu achar milas azazel." If you were able to understand the secret hidden in the word azazel, teda sodo v'sod shmo, then you would understand the secret and the secret of its name. Ki yesh lo chaverim b'mikra. There's other similar word usages in the pasuk. He says, "Va'ani agal chak sas hasod b'remes." He says, "I'll give you a little hint to what the secret that's hidden behind the seir lazazel." Biyoscha ben shloshim b'sholosh teidanu. When you'll be 33, then you'll understand. That's the Ibn Ezra's remes to what's going on in the parsha of seir lazazel. So there are different explanations given for what the Ibn Ezra had in mind. The Ramban says that he's going to reveal to us the secret of the Ibn Ezra. He's a very, very cute lashon. He says, "Hinei ramazlcha Rabbi Lazar sheteda sodo kishetegil." One second. First, he says a cute lashon. Before he introduces it, Rabbi Elazar Kasav Amar of Shmuel, he brings Rabbi Shmuel, then he says, one second, he says, he brings the part we read from the Ibn Ezra. Yeah, he says, "V'hinei Rabbi Elazar, neman ruach mechase davar." Okay, so he brings a pasuk that he says Neman Ruach Mechazet Avraham. In other words, he gives him a pat on the back. He says, "Yeah, the Ibn Ezra, it's a good mita." The pasuk says that Neman Ruach, a person who's trustworthy, is Mechazet Avraham, hides things. So he says, "Yeah, it's good." The Ibn Ezra was a Neman Ruach. He hid this secret. He says, "Ve'ani HaRachil Megalasod." Okay, that's the end of that same pasuk. It says, "Holech Rachil Yegalasod." A traveling salesperson reveals secrets. So the Rabban says about himself, the Ibn Ezra was being sent to, he was hiding the sod, but I'm going to be the one to Megala. He says, "Shekvar Gilo." So Rabbi Sina's album Kolos Rabbi. He says, "Ah, come on, the Chazal already revealed this. Enoch and Ami, there is a very refined point that we have to be careful on how we explain it. But since Chazal already talked about it, I'm going to be Megala the secret." So what's the secret? So the Rabban says what the Ibn Ezra was hinting to is, he says that if you count 33 psukim from here, that there's a pasuk that says, the pasuk says, "Lo sizbuchu od lasi'irim." Okay, it's the iser to be makrib korbanos to the si'irim, is like shadim, to koho, to the different malachim of chavalah, the destructive angels. There was an avoda, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah used to offer sacrifices to the kochos of evil, ki'ilu, there was a zelu mazeh, that you can get the dark side, so to speak, on your side. You can win them over with korbanos. So there's an iser, you're not allowed to be zoveah to this year. So the Ramban says that's what the Ibn Ezra was being meramez to, that in some form, the Seir La'azazel is some form of a ki'ilu, not really a korban, but some kind of an offering to the Seirim, to the kokos of Ra, to the Satan. Okay, and he brings a Gemara that speaks this out, that Chazal explained that it's like offering a bribe to the prosecuting angels that they shouldn't prosecute Klal Yisrael. Okay, now we can hear why this is a sensitive issue, why we would need to be very, very tsanu and careful how we discuss this. Okay, so the Ramban puts it in perspective, because obviously, right, we don't want to chas v'shalom have any implication that there's any possibility of being oveid or offering korbanos to anyone other than Hashem. So the Ramban explains very beautifully that if you look at the Seir La'azazel, it's not... What's the procedure? You take the two Seirim and you bring them lifnei Hashem, and then you do a goral, and the goral tells us which one goes La'azazel. So the Ramban brings a mashal. He says that it's like a person who brings a bunch of gifts to the king, and the king says, "Oh, go take that gift and give it to the Sara Mashkim. Go give that to the Sara Ofim," or whatever, right? In other words, the king is receiving your gift by instructing you to give it to one of his servants. Okay, so he says that is what's going on in this Seir La'azazel. That we're bringing both Seirim lifnei Hashem. We're giving both Seirim to Hashem. And then Hashem, through the Goral, instructs us, "I want you to go and take this Seir and give it to the Satan, to the Baal HaMavis." That's right, it goes to a place of desolation, which is the place where the Satan, the Baal HaMavis, has Shlita, and we're giving this Korban. I'm sorry, now don't call it a Korban. We're giving this offering, this gift, on ki'ilu as shluchim of Hashem to the Satan. Okay? And that's part of the avoda of Yom Kippur, and that's the way Chazal explained, is that we don't want there to be a kidrug against Klal Yisrael, so even the Satan we're giving this gift. Okay? The Ramban also points out a very important diuk, that when we look at the juxtaposition, it says Goral Chad Hashem, So we said the Ibn Ezra brought this Rav Shmuel that says they're really both Lashem. But they're saying no, Lazazel is some koach of Ra, right? So, but the way the Targum brings it, the Targum Unklus, he says, V'yitein Aaron al train sphirin advin advachad lishma dashem v'advachad Lazazel. Okay, so there's an interesting deal that the one, the Adva, the Goral to Hashem, it says Lishma Dashem, that it's L'shem Hashem, and the other one it says is given to Azazel, but it doesn't say L'shem Azazel. It says it's given to Azazel. Okay, so the Ramban is medayik this Targum Unkelus, that there's a fundamental difference between the two. That the only one, the only Kohav in the world that we offer a sacrifice to is to Hashem. And even if it's being given, not as a sacrifice, but as some kind of a gift, we still, of our own initiative, wouldn't go and give that to the Kohav of Ra. We don't, right? In other words, what was the, like I explained, the whole concept of Avodah Zarah was they were kivu trying to get things out of, they're trying to, like they say, making a deal with, making a bargain with the Satan or whatever, right? They were trying to win over the Satan and get him on their side or whatever, right? So we don't do things like that. We only serve Hashem. But Hashem sometimes tells us once a year to go and give this gift to the Kohos of Ra. Now,
how's that Mechaper?
How is it Mechaper? So the simple pshat in Chazal is that it's an inyan just trying to win him over, trying to get him on our side. Okay, but we'll explain the Nakuda now. Okay, let's explain. Okay, so the basic sod is that the Sir Azazel really is going to this Koach of Ra, but the perspective is, don't think that that's us serving some other force, that it's Hashem is telling us to give it to his servant, who is the Baal HaMavis, just like we find by Eov, right? By Eov it says that the Satan was among Hashem's servants that came to serve him. Okay, that the Satan is subservient. He's not an independent Chas V'Shalom Koach who fights against Hashem. It Hashem, part of Hashem's plan is there needs to be a Satan who gives us Nisyonis or whatever it is. That's all under Hashem's authority. So what is the message? Why is this an essential part of the Kapara on Yom Kippur? So the basic yesod we see in the Nefesh HaChaim. The Nefesh HaChaim famously explains this dichotomy that in different places in Chazal and in the Pesukim we see different ways to relate to Hashem. That on the one hand, we talk about the idea of Ein Od Milvado. We talk about Hashem's absolute oneness, that there's nothing other than Ratzon Hashem in the world. But on the other hand, we talk about the idea of Chilul Hashem. He brings Chilul Hashem as a lashon of Chalal. You're creating a space that's empty from Hashem. So we have an idea that we have to be Marbe Kavod Shemayim. Right? These are all musagim that are only shayach within the framework of, he refers to tzimtzum, that ki'ilu Hashem has some limitations, that Hashem has, there are places where Hashem's presence is revealed and there are places where Hashem's presence is hidden. Okay, so how do we balance these two perspectives of Yeah, okay, without getting into the technical terminology, how do we balance these two perspectives? On the one hand, we view Hashem as being the one and only Koach in the world. On the other hand, we view this, we view life as this battle between good and evil, where we have to strengthen the good, and we have to be Megala Kavod Shemayim, we have to bring the Ashras Ashrina. How is there any room for that if Hashem already is the only, all of existence? So the Nefesh HaChaim answers by saying that Ein Hachanami, that both statements are true. Let's just state very graphically, very down to earth expression of this dichotomy is he says that a person could ask that why should it be usur to think about divrei Torah in a bathroom? He says, "Hare, if Hashem is everywhere and everything is Hashem, so how could there be a place where it's tame, where it's not really to think about divrei Torah?" Okay, that's like putting in a nutshell this conundrum. If you really believe that Hashem is everywhere and there's nothing that goes against Hashem, so how can there be a place where you're not allowed to think in divrei Torah? How could there be such a thing as a place that's a makom tame? Okay, so basically the yesod of the Nefesh Chaim is that there's a distinction between the world from Hashem's perspective and the world from our perspective. He says that Hashem created the world that even though in an objective sense, Hashem always is the one absolute oneness and there is nothing other than Hashem's existence. But on the other hand, He created a world in which we would not perceive that oneness. He created a world in which He wants us to live and work in the world as if there was a need for us to bring out and spread Kavod Shamayim and bring out the Hashraz HaShlina. Okay, so there's this dichotomy going on that on the one hand we know on the level of Emunah, we know and we believe that there is such an absolute oneness, but Hashem specifically hides that from us because He doesn't want us to live our lives based on that perspective. Okay, let's just... What would happen if a person really felt like he wanted to live his life based on the awareness of Hashem's absolute Achdus? So the Nefesh Chaim explains that this could develop tremendous, tremendous kilkul because it's going to create a situation where a person just accepts, doesn't feel a need to fight against evil, right? A person doesn't feel a need to strengthen the Kedusha in the world, doesn't need to fight against the Tumah, because it's all Hashem. What's bad about a Makom Tameh? What's bad about a Chayt? What's bad about, right? All of these things, it's all Ratzon Hashem, so what's the difference? Now there's a certain like determinism, fatalism that comes into a person if he really tries to live based on this awareness of Hashem's absolute complete Achdus and absolute oneness and completion in the world. Okay, so the Nefesh Chaim says that this is a very, very dangerous perspective, this idea of thinking of Hashem as being absolute and complete oneness and nothing can negate Ratzon Hashem in the world, because a person who has that perspective isn't going to fight against evil. He's not going to avoid a Makom Tameh. He's not going to, right? All of these gedarim are not shayach from the perspective of Hashem's absolute oneness. Okay, so here, let's just read them, because these are very tricky concepts. I don't want anything to come out wrong. Let's just read a little bit the words of the Nefesh Chaim himself. Okay, he says, one second. He says, "V'kamaz yirus yaseret sarich ha'adam lizar v'zeh v'lishmor as nafsho mod mishmeres l'mishmeres." The person needs protection, al-gabi protection, not to overdo this perspective of Hashem's absolute oneness. She'im chas v'shalom yikachenu libenu likvoa lanu machshavazu lahadir latzmenu lisnai gab b'maiseh. If we're going to start acting in the world of action, we're going to act based on this awareness of Hashem's oneness. This is going to uproot the fundamentals of the Torah.
Right?
Al pi machshava zu derek mashal lahara b'divrei Torah b'seiz nefesh af b'mikomos ha'bedudavim akar sheyukba etz lo tchila shakola lukus gamor. Okay, so he gives that example. He says that a person is going to say, I live in this world of Hashem Echad. I don't see Ra. I don't see anything Tumah. I don't see anything negative. All I see is Hashem's oneness. So I can sit and think in Divrei Torah in a Makom Tameh, in a bathroom, in a place of Tumah. Okay? So he says that our whole perspective in the world has to be that there are kochos of Ra, and we need to fight against those kochos of Ra. And we need to bring Kedusha, and we need to bring Giloy Shlina, we need to add Kavod Shemayim. And so therefore we need to have the, on the one end we have this awareness in a fundamental emunah sense of Hashem's Achdus, but we live with this battle between good and evil, and we're fighting against the evil. He explains that that's the pshat in the relationship between Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Lo'olam Vaed. That Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is declaring Hashem's absolute oneness, that there is only Hashem, and Hashem is the only existence, the only koach in the world. When we say Shema, we put our hands over our eyes. Okay? Because when we're saying Shema, we're in the world of Machshava. We have to take ourselves out of the actual world that we live in. Because when we look around, we don't see Hashem Echad. We see a world where there's evil out there, and we have to fight against that evil, and we have to try to overcome the evil. Okay? So we cover our eyes when we say Shema Yisrael, because we know that we're only saying this as a theoretical, in other words, it's not theoretical, it's an MS, but from a perspective that isn't shayach to Olam Hazeh. What we can say in Olam Hazeh is Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Olam Vaed, that we want to be marvet kavod shamayim in the world. That's our job in the world. We need to go out there and try to add kavod, to give kavod to Hashem, to get rid of the chilul Hashem, right? To get rid of the chalal, to bring Hashem into every place in the world. Okay, so that's these two bechinas are Hashem Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso.
Learning Torah in those places won't bring the kavod Hashem there.
No, you need to first get rid of the tumah before you can learn Torah there. Okay, so. So how does this explain the idea of Seir Lazazel? So what's going on is that this Seir Lazazel is once a year on the most kadosh day when we're doma to Malachim, davka then we can give some expression to this awareness of the Achdus of Hashem by once a year acknowledging that Hashem is directing us to give this Doron to the Satan. That is the acknowledgement of the fundamental truth that the Kokos of Ra are also servants of Hashem. That the Satan and the Malchus Mabes, those are all part of Ratzon Hashem. There is nothing going against Ratzon Hashem. That those are all expressions of Ratzon Hashem. So this Seir Lazazel is that acknowledgement. It's raising us up to that madriga of acknowledging Hashem's absolute Achdus, that the Ra also is just an Eved of Hashem expressing Hashem's Ratzon. Okay, but that's a perspective. We can't live with that on a day-to-day basis. It's something that once a year we give expression to that mitzvah. Actually, twice a year is an interesting connection that Yom Kippur, the drasha is that it's Kippurim, right? So the other day that we get to this madriga of not distinguishing between good and evil, right, is on Purim. We get to Adulo Yada, Bein Ar Haman Levarav Mordechai, is we acknowledge that Haman really brought about the Maila of Klal Yisrael, right? The whole events of the Megillah, right? We had the Megillah Marathon, right? All of the good things that came out of the story of Mordechai, including the birth of Daryavish that would go back and enable the building of the Beis Hamikdash, right? That all came about because of Haman. Okay, so in a normal day we say our Haman, we have to wipe out the Ra, right? We have to destroy the Zecher of Amalek. We have to get rid of anything anything that's ra in the world. But once a year, twice a year, we can get to this point of Ad Elul Yada, where we acknowledge that it's all part of Ratzon Hashem. Really, there's nothing working against Ratzon Hashem. It's all absolute achdus. Okay, but we can't overdo that perspective, because that gets us to this very dangerous situation where a person can start to be complacent and say, "Oh, well, if it's all Ratzon Hashem, so then I don't have to do anything. I don't have to fight against Ra. I don't have to overcome any challenges, because it's all Ratzon Hashem anyway." That's the danger that we have to avoid. So we have to keep these two things in perspective. That on the one hand, we have this fundamental emuna of the absolute achdus, but we don't let that interfere with our day-to-day anhaga of fighting against evil. And that the Sira Wazel was this one day, on the most Kaddish day, that we allow some expression of that awareness of the absolute achdus, that even the kokos of Ra are all part of the expression of Ratzon Hashem.